episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
And this is, we're ready to believe you, Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Or should I say Brother Matt and Brother Long.
Oh, yeah, Brother Mark.
Brother Mark, I have joined the ranks.
That's
of the
right.
ordained.
You are.
And your Long was absolutely right. It was so easy, I forgot I did it.
Yeah.
It's like literally you sign up, you're like, bam, and then they want to charge you $30 for credentials. Or official credentials.
Mm-hmm.
But I fuck yeah. that.
You said no way.
No. Like, if the card was like maybe $5 or $6, maybe, but $14 for the card, I was like, I want to feel more official. Like, but.
Yeah.
No. I don't know.
Are you going to get one of those shirts?
What shirt?
You know, the shirt with the white.
Oh, no.
Square in the center.
I'm so fucking uninnocent for that.
You'd be like Nicolas Cage in Face Off, whenever yes. he's like going behind the choir and he grabs the girl's butt.
My hero.
Yep.
And so yes.
We what were movie all... was that?
That's Face Off. He's like, he takes a preacher's uniform and he goes behind the choir girl and like smacks her on the butt.
I think
butt.
We've mentioned Face Off so many times on the show. We gotta do that movie one day.
Yeah.
Y'all can do that movie.
It's
I'm
a
not.
Badass movie.
Yeah, dude. I want to take his face.
I'll just read the Wikipedia.
The Wikipedia.
You've seen it though before, right?
Once was enough.
Once was enough.
Yeah.
He's in the Frank School of Diss and Face Off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's only cool to diss Rocky Five.
Yeah.
It's only cool to diss Rocky Five, buddy.
I can diss Rocky Five.
There you go.
And I can diss
Jaws
Face Off.
Four.
And I can diss that too.
Well, yeah. You know, speaking of bad movies, well, Face Off's not a bad movie, regardless of what Frank and Long say. Mm-hmm. But
it's not a memorable movie.
You
I remember
it.
It.
But well, you know, I wanted to launch a Patreon soon. We've been talking about launching the Patreon for like over a year.
Yeah.
But
no, you're launching the Patreon. I'm not touching it.
Well, we're all group here.
Yeah.
And team so I've almost got it set up. And
you can keep the money.
So we'll do a it'll go to server space.
Yeah, right? Server space.
So we'll do a once a month special episode that we give to our Patreons. And I ran a poll online. They want us to just do a bonus movie every month, like a movie that sucks and we can have fun with it, make fun of it, or like our old format where we do like a special feature and stuff, or all the above. And movies that suck won by like one vote.
I'm about to say it was like neck and neck
so,
the whole time.
So that might be what we do. We can do really bad movies like Dragon Ball Evolution and things like that.
Oh my god, some fun that's with a bad them. Movie.
And so I don't know. We'll see. I don't have it. I might around October. I'd like to maybe launch it. So hopefully very soon.
Yeah.
Have y'all done Plan 9 from Outer Space yet?
No, the old one. No.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
No. Mm-mm. I couldn't even finish.
Yeah, it's a pretty bad
I couldn't
movie.
Sit through an hour of it.
Yeah. But otherwise, so Patreon coming soon from the Rebel Radio Podcast. And we hopefully some people sign up.
Yeah.
We'll keep it cheap. It'll probably be like anywhere between $1 to $5 a month to help us out. And you get free shit.
So yes.
It'll be fun. I'll come up with some more ideas for free stuff besides just an extra monthly episode. So, you know, it'll be cool. And so how's y'all's week been?
So far, so good, I guess.
Had to work again.
Fucking work. It doesn't stop, does it?
No.
No.
No. That's pretty much what I've done.
You can't
thankfully,
like...
always Thursday and Friday was my only two work days since I took most of the week off.
Oh,
that's not bad.
Poor baby.
Yeah. I know. First world problems.
First world problems.
But, yeah, my week wasn't too bad. I want to give a shout out to our buddies over at the Thor's Ken podcast. They just reached 100 episodes.
Good job.
They're like they're kind of like our baby brothers in a way. Me and Matt started last year kind of talking to them and egging them on through social media. And I've gotten to know Alex a little bit through talking to him on social media. And his new co-host, Tom. I think Tom's in America. They do things over the internet and stuff. And Tom likes the F word in its many different forms quite a bit on the show.
Fact.
But it's a fun show to listen to. And we tease Alex about his English dialect and things like that sometimes. And but congrats to those guys for 100 episodes of was supposed to send them some audio in, but I can tell Alex he can just clip this and use it. But congratulations to them for reaching 100 episodes. And baby brothers growing up, maybe they'll reach 159 like us soon. We'll see.
Yeah, so yeah, they're definitely up there.
But good show. Check out the Thor's Skin podcast. It's like Thor's penis, only
yes.
a podcast.
Thor's Skin podcast.
Yes, yeah, so you do the British. English voice pretty good. Yeah, Alex is definitely very British.
thunder and lightning. Very, very frightening.
Galileo. Yep.
But good stuff from those guys. And much respect to them for what they do with their show. And they've had some good guests on their show. They had Charlie Adler.
Yeah.
Who draws The Walking Dead. That was pretty cool. Or did the covers, at least, and stuff like that.
And so then
they had Ralph Garman.
Garman.
Who does Hollywood Babylon with Kevin Smith. I'm not the biggest Ralph Garman fan, but that's still a great get.
What's the point of that podcast?
It's mostly listening to Ralph Garman do impressions for 45 minutes, and Kevin Smith goes, whoa, yeah, that's funny. Okay. Yeah. That's why I'm not a big fan of Hollywood Babylon. It's okay. It's not my favorite Kevin Smith podcast.
Yeah.
But people love it. It has a huge following.
We can definitely do that.
Yeah. That's how I feel like.
No, you can do that.
I mean, there are
I'm just going to sit here and just nod.
There are various segments, and they do some Q&As and stuff, but it's overall kind of, Hey, but, people like it. It's not Fat Man Beyond. That's my favorite,
Mark Bernardin's awesome.
Yeah, I love Bernardin. Yeah. And I do like certain episodes of Jay and Silent Bob Get Old. If Jason Mewes is on point in doing his job, he's great. But then sometimes Mewes gets into his very immature levels, and it's just like it's too much to handle,
Yeah.
You can't listen to the whole episode,
It's a weed talking.
Yeah. But if Mewes is on point, he can be great. He can tell stories just as good as Kevin Smith, and it's fun to listen to. But sometimes he's just off his game, and it's not the best episode. It happens. So, but, yeah. Anyway. So, that was my shout-out for the week. The Foreskin Podcast.
Congrats.
And we have another shout-out at the end of the episode, but it has to do with who's coming on next week's episode.
Yes.
When Matt takes vacation. So, we'll do that later.
I want to take a vacation.
No one says you couldn't take a vacation.
Oh, no.
But, so, damn it.
None for you.
Anyway. So, download this, man. That's where we tell people what we watched, streamed, played, checked out this week on our home devices or movie theaters or whatever. So, what have you guys been consuming into your brains?
Yes, Matt. What have you consumed in your brain?
This will be something that probably our guest next week would have probably covered or might cover in the future. But there was a tweet that went viral. This guy posted this haunted road trip around Texas. And one of the places was the Texas Killing Fields. And that's what made it gain a lot of steam. A lot of people wanted to know. Like, they didn't know what the Texas Killing Fields were. I didn't know what it was. Apparently, it's this space in between Calder Road and 45 South going through Texas City and League City. And about 30 women ages 10 through 14, their bodies were just dumped there between the 1980s and 1994, whenever they finally caught one person.
Mm-hmm.
And they're supposed to be very haunted. There was even a movie made with it, with Jeffrey Dean Morgan and Sam Worthington. And Chloe Grace Moretz. It's it's like a made-for-TV movie, kind of.
It's
decent. I bought it because it was $6, and I was the rental was $4, so I was like, I'll just buy it.
Yeah.
But it made me, like, hey, maybe we'll go over there in the dark and see what happens. Get freaked out or something.
You really didn't know that story about the murders
of this? This is the first I've heard of it.
First I heard of it, really? Too.
Yeah, I'd heard of it.
Yeah.
So I didn't know there was a movie made about it, but I had heard the story about it. Yeah.
So if you're interested in watching it, you can hop on my Vudu, watch it. But yeah, everyone else, I can't give you my Vudu password, but it's fairly cheap rental on Vudu. I'm sure you can probably find it for cheap online or something. They didn't make a whole lot of money. They mainly made it to raise awareness and try and see if people would report, maybe a car that they saw in that area around the, years ago or something like that. But interesting movie, interesting story.
Yeah.
That's about it.
That's it.
Well, no, actually I finished an anime that I started 2 years ago and been watching it on and off. And I finally just, binged watched it, and it was called Shirobako, and it's a 26 episode anime TV series that's about the industry of animation, and it talks about shows the ins and outs of production, of trying to get how they animate shows and how far in advance, and it's pretty cool. Yeah. and all the drama that goes on in animating a series and stuff like that. It's pretty cool. And just finished that. What else did I see? I bought Avengers Endgame for the Blu-ray. Mm-hmm. And didn't watch it yet. Because I'm waiting for this weekend to watch it. So played some games. Played more Fire Emblem. That's a long-ass game, by the way. Yeah. Yeah. Now I've been devoting one or two nights a week to play it.
I've been working on Red Dead Redemption since February.
Yeah.
It's a really long game. Yeah.
And I still have Spider-Man. Yeah. I stopped for some reason. I'm like, I think I'm only a quarter or a third away through it.
I did finish that. I'm working on the DLC and stuff.
Yeah, because I just started doing the new missions where you're cleaning up New York City, yeah. You know, of the pollution, air pollution. That's I finished one or two of those missions. That's how far I am in it. So I heard that Marvel Ultimate Alliance on the Switch is pretty fun. You know, like 30 Marvel superhero characters you could play. Top-down view. Other than that, nothing much going on. Yeah. Almost finished with my aircraft carrier. I think I sent y'all pictures.
Yeah.
It's black and red and stuff like that.
It looks real good.
Thank you. I just need to put the decal labels on there and the airplanes park on the flight deck. So, yeah, I've been pretty productive. Yeah, and I'm back to work.
I've watched the second episode of The Boys. I liked it better than the first episode. I think I'll finish it. It's only 8 episodes. Pretty good. Interesting take on superheroes and working for corporations. Did you?
Yeah.
How was it?
I only watched the first episode and then a little bit of the second. And then Jackie walked in and she's like, "What are you watching?" And I was like, "I got to start this over," because it started getting, like, to your point, I thought the second episode started getting really, like, really good. And so I was like, we need to start this over. And we haven't had a chance to be good on that. But are you on episode 3 or?
I haven't started episode 3. I just watched the first 2.
Okay.
And I'll get to it eventually. Me with TV shows, what, took me a month to do Stranger Things, so it might take a little bit of time. But the big one I watched this week is I watched Batman Hush.
How was it?
Okay, if you've ever read Hush and know the story,
I thought it was okay.
Well,
the comic book.
I think Hush is one of those comics that it's become more classic now, 15 years later. People have kind of accepted it as a defining moment in modern Batman. But the movie is really, I think, a really well-done adaption until you get the last 15 minutes. They completely changed the ending from the comics to a way that it's like almost head-shaking. Like, wait, what? Why did they do that? Because they could have easily done it just like it is in the book, and it would have been fine.
Mm-hmm.
You have the source material right there. And that's my problem with people that complain about the Killing Joke. People didn't like it because of the prologue that was added. But the Killing Joke, to me, was an adaptation of what the book was. The Killing Joke was never made to be an animated adaptation. It's not overly exciting. It's a psychological tale. So people didn't like the movie version because, like, this isn't that exciting. Well, yeah, because it was never intended to be. But I like The Killing Joke because I appreciate it for adapting the book for what it was. And so with Hush, you have this material that's right there in front of you. All you have to do is adapt it. Obviously, you're going to scale it down a little bit to fit in an hour and a half movie. And somehow the writers just missed the whole point in the ending and how it fucks with Batman's head. And they make it more generic. I guess that's the best way to put it. Because I don't want to spoil anything because it's still very new. People are still watching it. But if you take it as a Batman film, it's really good. I enjoyed it. It's just if you've never read the source material before, you'll probably enjoy it.
Okay.
But if you've read the source material, you're kind of like scratching your head, like, why did they do that? You know, they could have just done it like the book. But overall, it's really well animated, it's really well acted, voice acted, and Jason O'Mara has really grown on me as Batman. You know, you're so used to Kevin Conroy, but I think O'Mara does a good job in the role too as the voice of Batman.
I wonder if they'll ever do The Long Halloween. That's the one I'm looking forward to.
I would like to see that one too. Yeah, I agree. And I think The Long Halloween. Now, people argue that Hush should have been split over to 2 movies. There's a lot of filler in the Hush comics. I can see I can do an hour and 20 minutes. Now, Long Halloween, I think you have to do. If you're going to do these hour and a half movies, you're going to have to do it in 2 parts of the property.
Yeah. They finally showed the trailer to the Wonder Woman Bloodline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're rehashing the origin story again.
Well, it's from what I've
read. That's dumb.
It's a sequel but it's also an origin. So I wonder if it's just going to be some flashbacks for the origins, you know?
I hope it is.
Yeah, I'm wondering how they're going to do that, too.
Because I can't, like, you only got two animated Wonder Woman movies, and then there's, like, a plethora of Batman and Superman movies, you know?
Yeah.
They call it the Trinity, but they don't really treat it like it's more like a duality of just Batman and Superman.
Yeah. But I mean, I think going.
Or just Batman.
You know, they did a few lackluster ones the last couple of years, but I think with the. I thought Death of Superman and Reign of Superman were both really good, and then Hush is good enough, so it seems like they're back on track, so hopefully Wonder Woman's well done. Mm-hmm. The first Wonder Woman animated one was.
It was good. Really good. Yeah.
So.
Nathan Fillion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 So hopefully they keep getting back on track, but. But yeah, that's really all I watched.
Yeah, I want to see a Wonder Woman video game. That's that's one thing that I have never seen yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
She has so many moves that they can, you know, take advantage of.
Yeah, I think the only Wonder Woman you ever had was in the Injustice games.
Yeah. Yeah. The fighting games. Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. Never really had her own game. But maybe one day.
One day.
You know.
Someone's not puss enough to be scared to do it.
Yeah, well, you know, there was at one time, there was a whole Justice League game in the making, similar to, like, they got the Avengers game coming out next year, like a big open world, and I guess I don't think it ever went into any kind of production. I think it got scratched in pre-production. I think it was supposed to tie in with George Miller's Justice League Immortal when it came out. It was the whole idea of a big Justice League game.
Yeah.
So, but never. Maybe one day we'll get something like that. That would be cool. I want to play as Hawkeye and fly around. Or Hawkman.
Hawkman.
Yeah, no, I'm just kidding. that was supposed to be a bad joke, and I ruined it by calling him Hawkeye. Nobody wants to play as Hawkman. If you're going to play a Justice League game, you're going to be Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, or Green Lantern. That's who you're going to be. You know?
Mm-hmm. What about Plastic Man?
What the fuck is a point in Plastic Man?
I don't know.
I don't understand. That's one of the superheroes I'm like...
Isn't he like a Mr. Fantastic knockoff, but
like,
funny?
Yeah, it's like it's weird. I don't know. There's been talks about them doing a Plastic Man movie, and I'm like, why?
Why?
Who's going to go see that?
Jim Carrey is going to play Plastic Man.
People kind of balked at the idea of a Shazam movie, and it worked. So,
yeah.
You know, you never know. So it's possible.
Yep.
All right. Well, let's get into today's featured film, a classic of the anime genre. Released in 1986 originally. Didn't make it to the States till 91.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you had bootleg VHSs. I guess this was apparently a very heavily... You know, I was researching this film, and it wasn't easy to find stuff on it, with the wonders of the internet. But this was a pretty heavily bootlegged film, apparently, as much as almost Heavy Metal was bootlegged, and we did Heavy Metal, that this made its way to the States through bootlegs and stuff, and eventually got theatrical release in 1991 in America. But it is Fist of the North Star. Which is maybe the granddaddy of anime films in some ways.
In some ways,
You know, it was one of the ones that brought it to the maps in America and made anime popular. Certainly showed it was probably the first anime to be that violent that I may know of.
It's super violent by today's standards.
Yeah,
and it almost wasn't. It was Shonen Jumps. The creator of Shonen Jumps, you know, idea to make people explode and to hit people in their PowerPoints.
Right.
Or by press.
Summarize the plot, Mark.
Put me on the spot there. I was going to tell you to summarize the plot. I did that last time. Someone else take the plot.
It's your idea.
So, in a post-apocalyptic world.
Thank you, Matt.
Also an alternate world, because they do mention China, but then there's other places that really don't exist. So in an alternate Earth universe, there it's a post-nuclear war similar to Mad Max. It's like Mad Max meets Bruce Lee. And you have people fighting over power. Money is no longer relevant, and the only commodities are food, water, and strength.
You're not summarizing it. You're setting it up.
Well, I'm setting up the world.
Here, let me give a Cliff Notes summary. Post-apocalyptic world. Thank you, Matt.
Yes.
And basically, it's super violent. Yeah. So, Ken gets his ass kicked, gets his woman stolen by
Shin.
Shin.
South Star.
Yeah,
Shin, Fist of the South Star.
Shin, yeah.
And then the Ken gets come back to life because some girl called off
3 years later. Yeah.
3 years later. And then all of a sudden he starts kicking people's ass. He kills his
brother.
Yeah. I don't think it's blood brother, though, isn't it?
No, they're all adopted.
Adopted brother,
In the animated series, it says that they're adopted.
Yeah, who called himself Fist of the North Star. He killed a fake Fist of the North Star quite violently. Yeah. But we'll get back to that. And then then another villain, Rao, comes in. Rao the Conqueror. Mm-hmm. And he starts kicking people's butts and kills.
There's a lot of ass kicking.
And then Rao confronts Shin, the Fist of the South Star, takes Julia, Ken's woman, and then Ken finds out. Ken and Rao does their big confrontation. Ken gets his ass kicked by Rao. Mm-hmm. And because of Lin, the little girl that was rescued by Ken earlier in the movie, she begs Rao to let Ken live, and Rao's like, okay. And so ends the movie. Yes. And Julia has disappeared mysteriously after all that, you know, world chasing. And I'm like, okay, well, that's an experience.
I'm glad you set that up, because first off, the first time I remember seeing this was probably
the movie ends with Ken walking broodingly.
Right, like a vagabond.
Yes.
Like a vagabond.
And he finds this open field of
this
water.
This oasis.
An oasis.
And yeah.
The first time I remember seeing this was probably years ago, and I don't really recall it, so it almost feels like watching it the first time this time.
Yeah.
And, like, there's so much weirdness in this.
Yeah.
Like, things that just sort of happen, you're like, wait a minute, why did that happen? Like, there's, I guess you assume, like, all the mutants and the super tall people are all part of product of nuclear war.
Yeah.
You just have, there's a lot of assumption made in this movie. The whole thing with, I thought the same thing. He goes through all this horrible conflict to get Julia back, and then she just disappears. I'm like, what? It's really weird. The animation style is really neat, though. I like how, like, when people were dying, it would go to, like, a different screen and be like their spirits were leaving them. That was kind of cool.
Yeah. Although, you did, I mean, we all watched it on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
And I was amazed by how pristine the picture and the sharpness, the crispness it looked. And then it would go into really bad filters when it went super violent on close-ups and stuff. And I found out that before the Japanese release of it, it was heavily edited.
Severely edited
by the original studio for it to be released. They were going to release it uncensored, but the warehouse that stored all the movies for Toy caught fire, and the only rumored intact copy was some Italian copy somewhere, which showed the trailer of everything uncensored, no filters, all that. And but anyways, Toy just didn't want to pursue it, I guess. And but other than that, I mean, the quality of the animation, the digital transfer, at least streaming, looked really good.
Yeah.
You know, and until it goes on moments of super close-up deaths, you know, that's when it gets weird. Some dip in quality.
There's also another fighter, Ray, the slicey dicey dude.
Yeah. Remember Fang? The guy who turned his skin to steel.
Oh, yeah.
That's played by Shredder.
Really?
James Avery, Uncle Phil from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cartoon.
And I did think that was one of the weakest parts of is the voice acting's a little weak in parts. It's very monotone, very solid. There's been talks for years about, you know, they redid Akira, where they redid the voice acting in Akira after years, and there's been a lot of talks how they need to go in and redo the voice acting on this one. There was talks about one time for the 25th anniversary, but I guess they never got the money to do it.
Yeah.
And I think that's one thing where the movie did lack a little bit. The voice acting could have been better.
It was not bad. It was serviceable. Terrible,
but yeah. But there were some that whoever plays Rao, he's really just dry.
And yeah.
Like, not just very delivering his lines with no emotion to him.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what they intended, because he was like a
dude. I have one of my old lifelong friends. Back in middle school, we were playing a video game, and we were playing Mortal Kombat or whatever.
Yeah.
And he would blurt out this line, "You're dead. You just don't even know it yet." You know?
Yes.
"You're already dead, but you just don't know it." And I'm like looking at him like, "Where in the heck did you get that line
from?" This movie.
Yeah, it's from that movie. And, like, throughout my whole life, I've always wondered where he started uttering that.
And then Nani.
Well, and the popularity of this movie is actually much bigger than I thought it was. In Japan, this is very much a a celebrated film in anime culture. Yeah. They really liked it.
It's a touchstone.
It was a television series at the same time they were making the movie. It ran, 23 episodes?
Yeah.
The manga started in 81, 82, I believe, and it ran... The movie came out. There's been multiple video games. There's been...
183 episodes.
Yeah. There's been spinoffs. Yeah. A couple of sequels that were made. It was heavily influenced. You mentioned Bruce Lee and Mad Max earlier. The writers did admit to that they saw Mad Max and they were influenced by it. Mm-hmm. And definitely they designed Ken off of Bruce Lee. In the movie, they said it was very important in the film that the sounds of the martial arts sounded like Bruce Lee films. And they did that on purpose with a crazy, almost a psychedelic look to some of the scenes in it too, because they were very influenced by 70s martial art films and things like that. They wanted to create like a martial arts anime in a way and make it feel like you were watching a live animated version of a Bruce Lee film, only obviously a little more futuristic, a little bit more supernatural in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was interesting that a movie that's only 6 or 7 years removed from a film that didn't become a cult classic until years later with the Mad Max Road Warrior, that this film was influenced by it. So I thought that was kind of a neat little touch to the film for it being so close after the Road Warrior Mad Max. But was Thunderdome out at this point in 86?
I'm sure.
Thunderdome was 85, yeah.
Yeah.
So all three Mad Max films would have been out already.
Yeah.
You know? I imagine if this film came out...
Well, with it being Australia in such close proximity to Japan, Japan will probably get it sooner than the U.S., so... Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I see the influence of the film, and I can appreciate that. Did I like the film overall? I thought it was okay.
It was entertaining.
You know, yeah. It's not maybe the best anime I've ever seen, but I can appreciate for what it did for the world of anime and bringing it to other countries outside of Japan, because I didn't realize how much of a game changer this was. I mean, anime television was big. Speed Racer was already out at this point, and some other things like that. But as far as film,
Macross was king. And, Gundam.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And a lot of television stuff. But as far as film, anime film had not really crossed over. Fist of North Star was one of the first ones. Yeah.
Transformers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't even ask you, when was the first time you ever saw this? Or both of you, I don't
know. Man, I think
this weekend.
Really? Yeah. I think it was like, really sat and watched it.
Yeah.
For me, I think it was like 3 years ago. I was like, I saw it.
What was your reaction?
I like the blood just exploding everywhere in people's heads. It's over the top. And I think that's what makes this movie special, is just the, you know, out of this world action, you know. He hits someone in the head and just... You know, the
swells.
Up. Yeah, that whenever he's defending the boy and the girl, and he hits one guy in the head, and it falls at the, you know, the body falls at the kid's feet, and then his head just explodes and blood shoots all over the kid, and he's like,
I think the one thing that made me laugh was when what was the false Fist of North Star's guy's
Javi.
Name?
Yeah.
Javi.
Yeah.
When Javi was sleeping.
Oh, my
and
God.
And the henchman came in, snuck in, peeked under the blanket to look at Javi, what he looked like without the mask. The henchman started throwing up. He gets all scared.
He's like, you've never been so close to in your life.
Yeah. He's like, you're not worthy. I thought you were more men than you really tell yourself to be. And you were scared at the sight of my face. You deserve to die. Oh, that was the funniest scene in the whole movie. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
There's actually a fourth brother. There's a brother that's...
Raul was one of the brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's another one, and apparently he shielded Ken and became a healer after the fallout and started healing people, because not only can... The Ultra Kenpo or I forget the name of the martial art.
Just call it North Star Kung Fu.
North Star Kung Fu. It's also meant to heal people. And did you get the reference to the? I didn't know this, but I guess the scars from Shin are in the shape of a Big Dipper. Whoa. And the Big Dipper points to the North Star.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So that's the reference.
Oh, okay.
And then I noticed on the poster, the points are highlighted, and you can really, it really does look like the Big Dipper.
Yeah.
And in the manga, whenever Rao first runs into Rey. Rey asks, you know, he's like, have you seen the Big Dipper? And he's like, yes. He's like, I have seen the Big Dipper, and it led me to the Fist of the North Star. He's like, then it is our path to fight. And then that's the conversation. But he does still talk about destiny and that it's their destiny and he's not going to stop destiny and stuff like that.
There's some sweet moments in it.
It's a lot of manly crying in this,
yeah,
this film. Yeah.
Well, the moment where they rescued the blind chick, Alicia.
Yeah.
And then she's seeing that flower for the first time, raised by Lynn. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like, yeah. Okay. She's finally seeing again after all the horrors she's experienced. Yes. You know.
That there's and you were doing the speech, but there's a lot of like short dramatic speeches in this too.
Yeah.
Like delivered by different characters and things. But yet Ken is kind of the most quiet of all of them. He just delivers his lines like, you're dead. You don't even know it yet. Like you said earlier.
Yeah. You're dead.
And I think Ken obviously is going on to influence a lot of stuff today. I would think Street Fighter had to be influenced by this.
Oh, game. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dragon Ball Z had to be influenced by this and the ideas of super martial arts and powers and things like that. You see the influence. You realize watching the
there's
film
still like some this. Gags in anime, yeah. Visual gags.
Oh, you know, for the, sure that you yeah. see in this.
Oh, it is Toei Animation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Toei Animation did release Dragon Ball.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. The Dragon Ball, how old is it? It came. Oh, okay. So, four or five years after Fist of North Star then.
Yep.
Neat. Yeah. Shonen Jump. Yeah.
But before an older anime, though, I think it. Like you said, the transfer's good on Amazon Prime. I think it holds up fairly well. It's an exciting story. It still might be one of the most violent animes I've ever seen. It might even... Is it more violent than Ninja Scroll even?
Oh, yes. Yes, it is.
Maybe.
The amount of gratuitous violence.
Yeah. I think you just don't have the... Ninja Scroll only had a little bit of nudity in it.
A little bit. Ninja Scroll had a lot of nudity. This only had that one scene.
Yeah, that monster that was, like, licking the girl's boobs. Yeah,
Ninja Scroll had a lot of nudity in it. And, yeah, Ninja Scroll was more about a bit sexualized violence in a lot of ways, where it wasn't trying to tell the story. This is very much trying to tell a story.
Ninja Scroll did tell a story.
It did, but this is very much a story in an apocalyptic world that folds over 3 years, and it was a little slow at times. That's the only thing I felt about it.
Yeah,
I felt that this movie tried to fit 20 pounds of content into a 10-pound bag.
For real, though.
Yeah, I think it feels like it was going through all of the major stories of the first few volumes of the manga, all in compressed in, like, 2 hours, you know?
I think you're right. Did I read it's, like, the first 75 chapters are kind of condensed into this movie?
Yeah, wow.
Like that? Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, so what is the TV series in?
The TV series ended in 1988 in 2 years.
But I mean, what does it tell the other rest of the manga?
It's probably more faithful to the manga.
Yeah, probably so.
Expanded.
Yeah.
More fillers, kind of like, I'm sure it's like the Naruto of its day.
I mean,
yeah.
Or Dragon Ball Z.
And I didn't realize there's actually a pretty recent video game based on this that's out on PlayStation. Oh, yeah, 4.
PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
Paradise.
So they're still Fist of North Star still being told today. Stories of it.
And it's in Jump Force.
Yeah,
Ken's character is in Jump Force, and you can play as him. And I watched some of the gameplay, and it's pretty impressive.
Yeah,
and that suit of his looks.
Is that
like
made
that
by the same folks who did Dragon Ball Z, the recent fighters?
Maybe
it looks like it,
or maybe they did Naruto Ninja Storm, one of those two.
It's all under the Shonen Jump umbrella.
Yeah. You can play as Yu Yu Hakusho. You can play as Chuck Huber's character, Hiei, you can play as Hiei, or Toguro, you can play as Toguro from Yu Yu Hakusho. That's an anime you really need to watch, Mark. And and what's cool is that it moves so fast, Yu Yu Hakusho. But I also think that was its downfall. It just had nowhere to go. It just climaxed and peaked too fast. Right after, whenever they tried to replicate that second Dark World tournament. Did you ever watch it? You've never watched it either.
As I said many times, I don't watch the mega series stuff.
Yeah?
No, I don't watch Jump anime.
You know how long it's against the trends. Okay.
No, it's not about being... it's the time investment.
Yeah.
You know? And not knowing if you're watching fillers. you know?
There's hardly any fillers in there.
Yu Yu Hakusho?
Yeah, at the first maybe 20 episodes, there's some fillers here and there, but once he becomes a spirit detective, there's no filler. Every episode pretty much has a purpose.
Wow, nice. How did you watch that show?
I watched it on Toonami.
Oh, okay.
And then I bought the seasons.
Wow.
I see the DVDs at half price all the time.
How many seasons are there?
4.
Oh, okay, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
Still won't watch it. No.
Oh, come on, you Meshi. But final thoughts on Fist of the North Star?
Entertaining.
Yeah.
Must watch.
Yeah, definitely more entertaining than I expected it to be. Now I've solved a lifelong mystery about where that saying came from one of my best friends.
That's kind
of
awesome. Yes. And yeah,
you I think you have to say it as in Japanese though.
Yeah, entertaining. Worth watching to see the influence of it and where it came, where movies anime comes from today. So I think this is one of the grandfathers of anime films. I think for sure.
Yeah.
So. Definitely worth watching. It's on Amazon Prime, so check it out if you've never seen it before or want to watch it.
And it's also entertaining, for free.
Ultra-violent anime.
Yeah.
So, cool.
You're going to be entertained. You just don't know it yet.
Hey, that works. Well, we got some news. A couple of Star Wars things this week. The first, there's some big Star Wars news, but I guess they also announced kind of quietly that Resistance is only going to be 2 seasons.
Yeah.
So they just sort of...
I didn't even watch it.
Yeah, I watched some of the first season. It's not bad, but not as good as Rebels was.
Mm-hmm.
And the big reveal was Kylo Ren's going to be in the second season, so they're going to continue to tie it in with the sequels.
Emo Ren.
But the big news is this week, and maybe we'll get confirmation next week at D23, is that apparently Ewan McGregor is in talks or very close to signing on to be in a Obi-Wan Kenobi television series on Disney+. I like this idea.
Yeah.
I
really wanted to see a Kenobi film in the style of Solo, but if I'm going to get a TV series, I'll take it that way, too.
Yeah.
Because I think it's hard to argue that Ewan McGregor is not probably the best part of the prequels.
Hello there.
Yeah. He's so good in the role. He channeled Alec Guinness and did a great job.
Yeah, with it. I'm interested in seeing what quality story he's going to be in.
I mean, I would imagine if he's just signing on now, we're probably about a year away from it. But that's okay. I think it'll be worth the wait, you know, and I think Ewan McGregor will bring a lot of good to the role. It'll be interesting. Yeah. I guess we're going to see adventures if it takes place after Revenge of the Sith. We'll see the adventures of him on Tatooine in that area.
Oh, that'd be cool.
So, you know, see what he's been doing. Maybe run secret missions or something.
Late job, no bother.
But I think that's a cool idea. And there's rumblings, too, that Solo 2 is not dead, that it's still being thrown around at Disney about doing a sequel, you know, because the movie's done well on Netflix and it's done well on home video, so I would like to see it, because I just feel they left Solo open enough to at least give me one more to finish the Darth Maul storyline.
Yeah, I like to see where
and Kira,
what Kira's character went.
I don't need a whole bunch more Solo movies, but just don't leave me unfinished, you know? Yeah. At least finish what you started.
Yeah, and after...
Tell the massage lady.
After the way the final season ended dirty for Daenerys, mm-hmm. for the actress who played her, I kind of want to see Kira done right, you know, even more so. And did you hear about the director of John Wick 3 is helping with the action scene
in Birds
reshoots
of Prey. Yeah.
for the Birds of Prey? Yeah. Yeah, they're reshooting the movie next month. Doing some reshoots, but it's just for the action scenes to tighten it up, make it a little bit more poppy.
Yeah, because that movie isn't it due in February or March?
Yeah,
I was
next year.
I'm a little surprised we haven't had a trailer or something for it yet.
Well, I mean, the budget is only like what, 120 million, not 90 much. Million? Not that much.
Yeah,
yeah. So they're playing it safe.
Yeah. So he's a good choice to come in and do some action scenes for him. It's we know. Chad Strelitzky, I think.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to say his last name.
Close enough.
I think we know he's proven what he's done with John Wick so far.
Yeah.
So I'm down for that. Neil Blomkamp's no longer directing RoboCop Returns. And I texted you guys, and Long was like, good, we don't need RoboCop. This is disappointing to me, man, because I really wanted to see Blomkamp's RoboCop. Apparently, MGM is in a hurry to make this. Like, they want to start shooting.
Man, MGM don't know how to make any movies.
They want to start shooting soon.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
And so Blomkamp is finishing up his horror film that he's making, and they don't want to wait for him. That's what he was open on about Twitter. He goes, I wanted to make it. I'm staying on as a producer, but he goes, they don't want to wait for me. They want to make the film now. So this stupid. Must be pretty far along. But we know Blomkamp is one of these modern directors that works on one project.
That's okay.
Doing another project.
He can go do Alien for fucking Disney then.
Right. So, you know, I guess he was doing pre-production on RoboCop while he was doing his horror film. And so apparently it's pretty far along in pre-production then if MGM wants to shoot it soon.
Yeah.
Kind of a bummer, man, because I think Blomkamp is a really good
Fuck director. MGM.
Yeah. And, yeah, I don't know if they're
that Disney fucking lion.
I don't know if Disney will let him do Alien, as much as that'd be cool, too. But, you know.
Well, I mean, Disney knows that they know what they have.
You think Blomkamp could do a Planet of the Apes film?
If he's passionate about it.
Yeah, that's what I think.
If he's passionate about the franchise, I'd be more than willing to watch it.
Since Matt Reeves has moved on to Batman, I don't see him coming back from Planet of the Apes. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Because Disney has said they plan on doing more and not another reboot. They're going to continue where we left the war for Planet of the Apes, that they want to do more. So,
I want to see him do that Alien, damn it. When he released the concept sketches of
I do too. Weaver. I wanted to see that also. And Michael Bean.
Yeah, Michael Bean, Hicks.
I always wanted to see that too. But
a grown-up Newt.
But we have Ridley Scott to thank for that. Saying he basically said, no, you're not fucking with my Alien.
God damn it.
Yeah. Yeah, but now that it's owned by Disney, maybe things will change. Yeah. And maybe Disney will come back around and say, hey, this is the way we need to reboot Alien.
Yeah.
Let's trust him.
Disney will be like,
to do it.
Yeah, and Disney like, well, Fox listened to you. Look what happened.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Because Covenant was not good enough that I want to see another one in that world.
Oh, man, there were so many dumb decisions made by,
So Disney, the last bit of news is kind of a slow news
dumb
week.
Character choices.
The New Mutants movie that's been hanging over Fox's head for a while. Apparently Disney's very unhappy with it and doesn't know what to do with it. I have a feeling we're going to see this on Netflix or something.
Direct-to-video.
Apparently so bad that they may not even put it on Disney Plus. I think the money's invested. They're going to release it in some way to try to recoup something.
It's kind of funny how that's worded, because I bet you it wasn't Disney. It's more like Kevin Feige saw the movie.
Yeah.
He's like, this is not good.
Yeah. And, the trailer wasn't terrible for it. It was an interesting concept, but I think the movie kind of got lost between the failure of Dark Phoenix and the sale to Disney from everything, and now so they don't know what to do with the New Mutants film.
Yeah. I have zero desire to see Dark Phoenix.
Yeah. I mean, I might rent it for a buck on Redbox. Oh, yeah. Just to
$1.
See what it was, you know. Because, I Mike Zapsik of I Sell Comics and Comic Book Man, you know, friend of Ming Chen, long your buddy. Mike Zapsik actually reviewed it on his podcast, and Zapsik didn't hate on it too much. And Mike Zapsik's a hardcore comic book guy. So he's biased. Yeah, well, so if Zapsik gave it a little bit of a chance, there might be something in it worth watching. So once I heard Mike Zapsik talking about it, it kind of made me think, yeah, maybe I'll give Dark Phoenix at least $1 rental. You know? So.
Well, you know me. I mean, I've said it before. In my mind's eye, I mean, you got one chance to get the Dark Phoenix story right. And they blew it on The Last Stand, and then they expect us to watch it the same story again.
Yeah.
Even if it's better. You still have to sit through watching the same story beats.
And, you know, God willing, 30 years from now, we're still around. They're making X-Men films. We might get it again. Part of the MCU. They'll bring Dark Phoenix.
And they did Cyclops wrong. I'm sorry. They did.
Yeah.
Cyclops is a cool character in the comics.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah.
And in the movie. Yeah. There's things in the X-Men movies that weren't done well, but there's some things that are done right. Like Logan was excellent. They got that character right. I always thought they did a good job of Rogue and Iceman in the X-Men films. But yeah, Cyclops is always just a kind of whiny little boy after making sure Jean Grey didn't run away from him.
He was just a jealous boyfriend.
Yeah.
You know, in the original trilogy.
Yeah. So. And of course, Patrick Stewart was great.
Can't go wrong with that. So Ian McKellen was great, too.
So there were some good things. But
Rebecca Romijn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She did a good job.
Yeah.
But that's all. That's it for the news, unless you guys had anything.
Nope.
I mean, you mentioned earlier that of Easy Rider fame, Peter Fonda passed away today. You know, he was...
Ooh, Lee's Gold. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. 78, Oscar nominated. Years old. Yeah. And,
back in 96, 95.
A while back.
So, ooh, Lee's Gold. That's the last significant thing he was noted for.
Right. He's made some cameos here and there over the years.
And he's narrated a bunch for nature documentaries. Mm. National Geographic specials and stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
But other than that, it's a kind of a bit of a slow news week. But next week we have D23 happening, so maybe we'll get...
I don't know. This news week is pretty significant compared to others we had.
Yeah. It's that time of the year, though. You get past Comic-Con in August. August is like the dead month. Not a lot happens. You got to dig for some news and stuff. You know? Mm-hmm. But that's okay. So.
Well, this week, Gamescom, the European version of E3, the Gamers Convention, we'll see what interesting news comes out for some of the game developers that are announcing some games throughout the week.
Yeah.
So
let's preview next week's film, in which, Matt, you are going to take a week off.
Yes.
So you'll be, I don't know.
Drinking tequila.
I'm not going to give you a hard time about your family... Your dad renting a place that's only 40 minutes away, which people go there on day trips. 56 in Houston.
56.
You still crying about that, Mark?
Yes. I it's weird to me. I don't know.
It's 2 hours and 20 minutes round trip.
Such a crybaby.
But
no.
But we're gonna have a couple of guests on the show in your place.
Yes.
Uh oh.
And that doesn't mean that you're so good that it takes two people to replace you. You don't get your head big, okay?
Hey, you know? You said it.
But from Home in the Strange podcast. We are inviting our friends, Lindsay and Sam, to come talk a movie with us. And she's going to bring the ghost story that apparently Long says she owes us.
Yeah.
And maybe battle it out about challenges.
I sang in the last episode. If we didn't get a free ghost story out of that, I'd be very disappointed.
That's right. So Lindsay and Sam are going to come on next week from the Home of the Strange podcast. And we're going to talk an American Werewolf in London.
La 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 la. Isn't this fun? Lovely stroll on the moors.
Did you hear that?
I heard that.
What is it?
You think it's a dog?
Nice doggy. Good boy.
What happened to them?
Well, the police report said they were attacked by an escaped lunatic.
A wolf.
My friend Jack was just here. Told me that I will become a monster in 2 days.
Your dead friend, Jack.
Yes.
Gotta believe me, David.
Believe what?
You're one of the undead, and I'm a werewolf.
Tomorrow night's the full moon. You're gonna change.
A what?
You'll become...
I know. A monster.
A naked American man stole my balloon.
What?
What did I do last night?
You don't remember?
The last remaining werewolf must be destroyed. It's you, David.
Run!
Good Lord.
So we kind of let them, Lindsay kind of helped pick the movie. Me and her were texting back and forth, and that was her first choice, so I kind of came back around to it. So let's do that. They're real into horror and paranormal and strange things on their podcast. Note the name, Home on the Strange. So we thought, yeah, let's do a movie that's kind of in between those genres, a little bit of horror, a little bit of sci-fi and everything. So do the classic John Landis film, An American Werewolf in London, which I actually have only seen. Really, one time a long time ago. So this will be another one. It's like watching for the first time for me. You know, so have you guys seen it before?
Oh, yeah. It's probably still the best werewolf movie out there.
Yeah, I know it's
one
of the most famous werewolf
transformation
scenes ever and everything.
No, the best werewolf movie, too.
Yeah.
Because, really, can you think of any werewolf movie that matches this?
Yeah, I mean...
As far as story, characters, special effects?
No.
And I can't think of any. Can you? No.
Maybe
you won't be here next week. Don't even worry about it.
Maybe that episode of Seinfeld whenever Jerry feels like he's turning into a werewolf.
No, dude. I'm talking about werewolf
movie. The sequel. Was there a sequel to The American Werewolf?
That doesn't count, though. That's dumb.
No, but it was dumb. But it was supposed to be a sequel.
Spiritual.
It just wasn't. Yeah.
Yeah. CGI wolves.
Yeah.
Not the same.
No, I just remember seeing that. So, but it is also on Amazon Prime. So anybody out there who wants to watch along with us to get ready for next week's show, go to Amazon Prime, watch An American Werewolf in London for next week's show. in which we bring on Lindsay and Sam from Home on the Strange podcast. So while Matt takes a break. And then drinks tequila.
Yes.
Tequila. That's such a Mexican.
I'll be there too. Spiritually.
There we go. I'll make you a spiritual tequila.
Thank you.
But that's all I've got today, man. That's it. It's been real.
It has been real.
Go to the RebelRadioPodcast.com. There's a new Comics with Arnold out on our YouTube station. And watch that on YouTube. Not listen to it. Watch it. It's really funny. And follow us on Twitter at RebelRadioPod and all the other social medias. And thanks to anybody for listening. Our back catalog has been doing very well, and older episodes are starting to pick up steam. So we appreciate anyone who's just discovering the show, and we hope you enjoy it. And that's it.
That's
until
all I
next get. Time. It's been really real. This has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
This is Ken.
Yeah, I was going to quote the line, but I suddenly can't remember what it was. You're dead. You just don't know it yet. I'll paraphrase it. Long's lifelong mystery.
Yep.
Finally solved.
It's finally solved.
Were you taking a picture of me?
No, I was going to. I mean, like, I had to do it on lock.
Matt,
I was
how
gonna,
dare you?
I was going to do the Japanese. In Japanese, Ken says, Onne wa nao shinderu.
And with that note, thanks as always for listening. And just go there and
sound like a weeb. No.
This is Chuck Huber. You're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast. Stop being so awesome.
Hey, headbangers. This is Rudy Sarzo, and you're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast at TrustMeI'mAJedi.com.